I might ought to put old Buster on that tape there, but I'm not going to. Because, you know, of course, somebody's going to say, well, you're advocating that. Okay. Fine. I don't care. I'll tell you what, I've been accused of a whole lot worse things than that before. Some of them true and some of them not. Anyway, for the past, I don't know how many months, what's one of them tapes say there? 20. That's quite a few months, ain't it? Been preaching on God has a people. And that's where I'm still on, that God has a people. Now, I've tried to break it down into different areas, and basically, so far, what I've tried to talk about, if I summed up these past 20 weeks, is what God has done for his people.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Now, I've mentioned the other. There are things that God does to his people.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? But there are also things God does for his people. Now, the truth is, the foundation is what God does for us, not what God does to us.
Yeah.
It seems that many people, although they don't have a great knowledge of it, many people have been taught about what God does to people. They always thought being saved, or they say getting saved, and they know about being converted and turning from sin and turning to God, right, and believing on Christ. Well, that's what God does to his people. But there's something that God has done for his people. And that's the foundation of what upon which what God does to us, that's the foundation upon which it rests.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I mean, to know what God does to us is not to know half the truth. It's to know less than half the truth.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have the foundation, you really don't know what you're talking about.
That's true.
If all you have is what God does to us, you're prone to go somewhere in error, because you don't have the foundation of what God has done for us.
Amen. It's true.
And I tried to sum that phrase up here a few weeks ago, and I'll try to say this again. You know, a lot of preachers are always telling us, telling men and women, boys and girls, what we ought to, or that way, trying to get people, tell us that we ought to believe, or trying to get us to believe. Right? Telling us we ought to repent and trying to get us to repent. But the problem is they rarely ever talk about him we are to believe, that person.
Yes.
And this struck home with me in, what is it, Romans 10. Now there are people who accuse us of being otherwise. Well, you don't believe people has to hear the gospel, you know, and blah, 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 all these accusations. But again, while they accuse us, they're actually the ones that speak less about Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
they always talk about believing, repenting, getting right with God,
oh, yeah,
giving your heart to the Lord, right? But they never talk about who that Lord is.
Yeah. Exactly.
And remember, and they love to quote this verse, Romans 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Yes.
Right? Now, notice it doesn't say whosoever shall call upon the Lord. But it is to call upon the name of the Lord. And this expression in the Greek is actually talking about calling upon a person that you know something about.
Yes.
Okay? We're not talking about just seeing a name written on a piece of paper and saying that name and calling out for mercy. We're talking about having some background as to who this person is.
Exactly.
You call upon their name. Names meant something.
Yes, sir.
Right? They often gave names not because it sounded good. Well, I like that name. No, they gave names of meaning, for meanings, for purpose. And notice that next verse. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?
Yeah.
And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?
Yes.
So if all I'm ever doing is sitting up here trying to get you to believe on Jesus, and I'm giving you primer about Jesus and detail about believing, I really ain't give you much anything.
Amen.
Have I?
No.
Somebody needs to kill that thing.
But
we're going to have a joke and you'd get him there.
Yeah,
just like an Arminian, you can't. It's hard to pin him down in any certain place.
You met the wife, not me.
No, yeah, not you. No. I tell you what, if this keeps getting disrupted, we're going to have to set off a few fog bombs in here or something. Kill everything that breathes. Now I'm sitting here worried about it. But back to the subject here. This is basically, and I mentioned this, Joe mentioned, didn't have this in my notes, but people talk about Sunday school. Now, we all realize that in Sunday school, what they talk about Jesus, they talk about King David, they talk about Moses, they talk about Abraham, right? But do they rarely describe all that define these men's character?
No, sir.
When they talk about David, do they talk about David and Bathsheba to these little kids too?
Yeah,
do they mention that? Huh? They're talking about Moses killing that Egyptian? Maybe they may mention it, but they go right on.
Yeah.
Do they talk about David out there scratching at the gates of that one city, foaming at the mouth, putting on that he's mad and crazy? Do they talk about these? Do they talk about Lot after he left Sodom and Gomorrah when he's up there in that cave?
Yeah.
I was telling the preacher this the other day. He said, boy, that's not good role models.
Yeah.
I said, you're right. You're right. They're not good role models.
Children's Bible
story. You know? They probably wouldn't let you put that book in the doctor's office if you wrote the truth in it.
Yeah. Exactly.
But God put it in here for a reason.
Yes.
There is but one role model, and that's what I told this preacher. There is but one, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every other man is faulty. And if God talks about you in his book for very long, it's going to show up. He's going to tell on you.
Yeah.
Right? Even if you're his own, he's going to tell on you. And I'm going to put it this way. I'll say it and it'll go right on the tape. I'd rather be a Lot than I would a John Hagee.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's right.
Because
I know, according to Scripture, no matter what you see in Lot, Lot was a just man.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because God's book says so.
Righteous.
And just let people accuse all they want. You know? Because, as Joe, well, I think it was, wasn't it, last week, Joe, where, you know, this foundation stands sure.
Yes.
And this is in light of some people's faith had been overthrown.
Yeah.
But this, the one thing stands sure. The foundation of God stands sure. The Lord knows them that are his.
Amen.
Now, they could call me antinomian and call you this, too. I'm not trying to point myself out. Don't mean it that way. Talk about me standing here as the person, one of the people God's called to preach the gospel to you. They can call me an Arminian. They can call me a hard, or not Arminian. They won't call me that. I messed up there. They can call me a hard shell. They can all these phrases. Antinomian. That's what I read it wrong. They call me antinomian. Well, you're lawless. Yes, I am by nature. I am lawless.
Oh, yeah.
And so are you.
Exactly.
So are you. It says, the old nature says about us by nature, we are not subject to the law of God.
Yeah.
Neither indeed can we be.
That's it.
Somebody says, well, after God did this to me, but now I can be. Now you're a liar or you're deceived, one or the other. You still cannot keep the law.
Amen.
I cannot keep the law. God doesn't save us to keep the law. God saved us because we couldn't keep the law.
Amen.
Period.
Now,
there are people that believe that. Well, after God does something to you, then you're more prepared to obey God's law. No, you're not.
No.
Mm-mm.
Right.
The Spirit of God has fruit.
Yes, sir.
Right? It says that, and it names those things. And those are the things we're to walk in. And it says against those things, there is no law. Even our obedience is not legal obedience. It's Spirit-wrought obedience. It's not an obedience to the law. It's obedience to a higher principle.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah. That's it.
You know, like these people, well, Day of Discovery's had it on, I don't know how many times, about this Chaser guy that helped bomb Japan with Doolittle. And he was captured, put in prison, and then God converted him and sent him back to Japan as a missionary, you know. And then just go on and on about him. Of what a great change, you know, how he was once just a rebel. And what a big difference this made in his life. And the sad part is they never talk about how his mind was changed about who God was.
Yeah.
It's just about how he himself was changed.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm serious. Most people, when they think of conversion, that's what God does to you. They have no idea of conversion toward God. It's conversion from sin.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right? But conversion in the scripture begins with repentance toward God.
Amen.
Not repentance from sin.
Right.
Granted, God's people repent of sin.
Yes, sir.
But you can't repent from sin. Now you think about that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just turn from sin. You know, you'll find out. You do that. I dare you to do that today. I'm going to turn from sin today. You'll find out it won't take long.
That's right.
That you've done turned all the way around 360 degrees and you still face the same way you thought you were.
Right.
No, we can repent of sin.
Yes, sir.
Because one thing here, if I haven't sinned yet, I don't need to repent of it.
Exactly.
If I've sinned, it's already too late.
That's it.
Huh?
Yeah.
Repentance is we repent of sin. Exactly. Not, I'm going to turn from sin. And I had more to say about that, but that's out in the end down here. So I've got to back up here. Get back to where the foundation is of what God has done for us in Christ. According to Galatians chapter 3, when he was on the cross, he was made to be a curse.
Yes, sir.
Right? Now look at it, Galatians 3. And here, and just to get the context here, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law, now look and think about that now.
Mm-hmm.
For as many, that includes all, if you're in that category, right? Remember what I said about the words many and all
mm-hmm.
last Sunday? For as many as are of the works of the law, if they're not saved, they're under the curse. Is that what it says?
Not really.
No, there is no qualifier like that here. The only qualifier are those who are under or of the works of the law, right?
Yeah.
For as many as are of the works of the law are under what?
Curse.
The curse. So I'm going to tell you, don't try to be of the works of the law.
Exactly.
Because you're trying to place yourself under the curse. Well, how am I to walk? Walk in the Spirit. That's how you're to walk.
Yes, sir. That's it.
That's what this book says, right?
Yes,
chapter
sir.
5, he says that.
Mm-hmm.
For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.
Amen.
So you can't mess up. Not one there time.
Amen. That's it.
If you do, you're where?
Under the curse.
But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. Now Paul says this ain't got to be some great master revelation from God. It's written in the book.
Yes, sir.
Right? For it is written, the just shall live how? By faith. And the law, the law is not of faith.
Exactly.
But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Now look at it. Christ. Now look at it. Let's look at what the words say. It's just like when I mentioned, Joe's mentioned it, Earl's mentioned it, I know. People talk about you need to get saved.
Mm-hmm.
I heard a man this morning say you need to get born again.
Yeah.
Now, you need to be born again. And somebody said, but you're just being picky. You're talking about proper English. No, I'm talking about proper doctrine.
Yes, sir.
I'm not talking about proper English.
That's
I don't care if a man messes up and uses improper English if he's teaching proper doctrine.
Amen.
Okay? But if even his improper English begins to preach improper doctrine, he's wrong.
There you go.
They say you need to get saved. No, you got to be saved. Get is active. Be is what? Passive.
That's right.
You need to not get born again. You can't get born again when you got to be born again. Look at what it says. Christ, in that next word, hath.
Amen.
Right? Not he is.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? There's a big difference.
Oh, yeah.
If it said Christ is redeeming us from the, what? Right? We could say this was an ongoing, continual thing, right? Uh-uh. Christ hath. This is something he's already done for us.
Amen.
Okay? He's not even done anything to us yet. Per se now. When this was happening, he wasn't doing something to us, he was doing something for us. And remember, Hebrews 1 said, how did he do it? When he had by himself.
Yeah.
Right? When he had by himself. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And then so there is no doubt. That's enough. Right there would be enough to convince us, to give us proof from God. That's it. Christ has done it, right?
Yes, sir.
But look, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. See, here's what he's doing for us, not what he's doing to us.
Amen.
Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.
Yes, sir.
Now, I mentioned that this is the foundation. Right? In other words, to give you an example, people say, well, I believe I'm justified by faith. Well, that's a proper statement. Okay? If you just say justified by faith, Scripture speaks of justification by faith, does it not? But I will say this, Scripture never says we're justified in God's sight by faith.
That's right.
Okay? There's a difference to those two things.
Yes, sir.
There is foundation. And then there's that which is the result of or built upon the foundation. Okay? Remember, I told you the foundation is what God did for us. What he does to us is a result of this.
Yes, sir.
Okay, what he did for. What he does to us is a result of what he did for us. It's like these people who teach, well, but your faith makes the blood of Christ effective. No. The blood of Christ makes faith effective. You see, the blood of Christ is the foundation, not faith.
That's right.
You see, and as I said last Sunday, usually if you want to know what the truth is, and you're hearing all these people, just turn around what they say, and you're probably going to get the truth. You know? They almost always, and I don't mean in every word they say, but if they're talking about some specific doctrine, you just take and turn around what they say, you're going to be pretty close to the truth with it. Now look at what, remember I told about? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And what did he do? He hung on a tree.
Yes, sir.
He was made to be a curse, and he did that for us. That way we don't have to be. Nope, we won't be.
Yeah.
Look, that the blessing of Abraham might come.
Yeah.
There it is. I didn't make this up. It's in God's book, right? What he did for us is the foundation of what he's going to do to us. Now, I know there's some people, but y'all people talk about theology. Well, you know what? Well, what you talk about is ignorance. You know? And because man has come up with certain words trying to define certain areas of things, ignorant people get upset with those that God's trained.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
That's what the one old king, one of them said to Paul, well, much learning's made you mad.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what he told.
And when you begin to speak of the truth of God to most people, that's what they're going to think about you.
Yeah.
They might not say it. Some of them will, some of them won't. But that's what most all of them will think. Now, of course, if you keep your mouth shut, don't say anything, they're going to think you're just like they are.
Yeah.
But as I said, eventually it bleeds out on you.
Yeah.
You can try to hide it, and it sneaks out on you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You try not to say anything, and as remember the psalmist said, I kept quiet. And it's not going to be verbatim, but my bones roared at night because I kept quiet, you know? And usually it'll come out. I mean, I try not to let people know I'm a preacher, because then they want my advice.
Exactly.
And if they take it, they'd probably be all right, but they won't take it.
Yeah,
right. No, I'm being silly. No, you tell someone you're a preacher, what they want, is this right to do or is this wrong to do?
Yeah.
Is this a sin or not? Like somehow I'm supposed to absolve them or give them the great definition of what sin is. Sin is defined in God's law. Somebody wants to know what a sin is, go read the Old Testament law. You'll find out what sin is.
Yes, sir.
And what most people want is an excuse. They want justification.
Yeah. You're right.
Can I do this? Or, well, yeah, you can do it. Mm-hmm. You might suffer the rest of your life, but you can do whatever you want.
Oh, yeah.
But I try not to let, especially where I work, too. Because there is a certain amount of distance you have to keep between yourself and those you're working with. You know what I'm saying? And when you tell people you're a preacher, they think you're supposed to be their soul buddy,
yeah.
Right? You're the one they're supposed to be able to go tell their heart's desire and need to. No, that's your counselor. That's what they pay them for. I'm here to make sure you get that shovel in your hand and you put the black stuff up in the hopper.
That's exactly it.
That's what I'm here for. It's what they pay me for. They don't pay me to go down and win souls.
Amen.
Right?
Exactly.
Somebody says, will you leave God at the door? No, he's always with me. I can't leave him there.
That's exactly.
And when somebody asks you point blank, you give them an answer.
Yes, sir.
But that's it. You give them an answer.
Yeah.
Don't say, well, I won't talk about that. Because the book says, if they ask you for a reason or the hope that lies within you are to be ready to what? Give an answer.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's what testifying of Christ is all about.
Amen. Yeah.
And it's when somebody asks you. What's amazing is you either got two extremes. You got those people that's always trying to tell everybody everything, you know, trying to win the souls. And then you got the others that say, well, but I separate my religion from the rest of my life. You even hear that? You hear that all over the place now.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, you ain't got much of a religion if you can.
Exactly.
Because my religion is a person, and he means everything to me. Everything about me, my life, no matter what facet of it is, he has something to do with it. He has everything to do with it.
Amen.
What I have today, I have because he's been pleased to give me. And what I don't have, he's been pleased not to give me. And what I've lost, he's been pleased to take away from me.
Amen.
Period. And that's what it, can I, have I always been that ready? No, but that's where he brings you to.
Yeah.
That's where he brings you to. Why? Because what he's done for me. That's the foundation. Now granted, if he's done something for you, eventually he's going to do something to you. But if you don't, even when he begins to do something to you, Joe, if you don't have some idea of the foundation, you're kind of left out there a little bit.
Amen.
But eventually God teaches his people, right? It says, and they shall all be taught of God.
Amen.
So God's people do begin to learn, right? People who never learn, they're not gods. They're not gods. No, he was made a curse for us, according to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, when on that cross he was made to be sin. Right? And let me turn over there and read it, so I don't want to misquote that. Because it's very important as the way it says this. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he hath made him, that is, the Father has made the Son, for he hath made him to be sin, what's that word? Look at it. For us.
Amen.
Who knew no sin.
Yeah.
That we might be made, you see there, there's the effect, right? There's the result. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now,
Amen.
Let me, I was going to say not be too theological, but that really doesn't matter. That's just, it's a unnecessary phrase. That we might be made, that's all in the passive.
Yes, sir.
Even here, we're not talking about what God is going to do to you, but what he has done for you. right? For instance, to explain, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the last two verses. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. You see that? We're not made this personally. He is made unto us. What? Yes, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption.
Amen.
As we read here, that we might be made the righteousness of God. How? In him. Amen. Thus we say that, according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in what? The Lord.
Amen.
The Lord. You see, it's good to know of the certainty of the foundation, because every once in a while, when the winds blow, the building can be rocked.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's what our Lord, you know, a lot of people got a house.
Yeah.
Remember, he talked about them two men. One built his house upon what? Sand. Other man built his house upon what? A rock. The wind blew on both the houses. Now, why did the one house stand? It wasn't because of the house.
No.
It's because of what? The foundation. It's the rock. Your house will be shaken. I don't care what kind you got.
Yeah.
Whether you're truly saved or you're not saved, you're going to doubt whether you are saved. Right? Whether you're deceived or whether God showed you the truth, there will be times when you're going to doubt whether I might be deceived. Maybe God didn't show me the truth. Maybe I've come up with all this in my head. Maybe this ain't it after all, Joe. Maybe I'm missing something here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you've never felt that way, don't be around me too much, because you're going to make me miserable. Because I ain't never felt that way. And you're just going to make me feel even lower than I already feel if you always feel opposite than that. No, it's the foundation that makes the difference.
Yes, sir.
The winds blow, the storm beat upon both houses. And I'm going to tell you, I guarantee you, the shutter's going to rattle.
Yeah.
Right? And the wind is going to shake. There's going to be creaking on both houses.
Yeah.
But bless God, it's what's the foundation that makes the difference.
Sir.
Everybody is being taught a lot about their house. Okay? A lot about their house. But they're not taught about the foundations, the different foundations. Right?
That's it.
Now, I know there are people there in that passage. What is it? Is it Matthew 7, isn't it? Where our Lord gives all those different illustrations. You've got false prophets and true prophets. You've got true fruit and false fruit, right? You've got people who's going to knock and expect to get in. Now, some people's going into the kingdom. Some's going to knock and expect to get in. And what? They ain't going to be allowed in, right? You've got a broad way and a narrow way. And I was always taught that this broad way and narrow way, on the narrow way, you got the saved people. On the broad way, you got everybody else. And it's like the drunks and the dope heads and the thieves. Right? Now, there may be a few of them that are that.
Oh, yeah.
But the broad way is the false religious way.
Yes, sir.
If you look at all the illustrations he's talking about, everybody is expecting to get somewhere or they're going somewhere. Right? Both men are building a house.
Yeah.
You know, the houses may be the exact kind of same house.
Yeah.
You know? It's the foundation that makes the difference.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You know, it's the way they're on that makes the difference. I don't care how straight they are on that broad way, it's still the broad way.
Exactly.
Right? You can be a straight, moral, religious person, believe in God, believe in Jesus, give him your heart two or three times. You know, just to make sure you got it done. But if you're on the broad way, you're on the wrong way. It leads to where?
Destruction.
Destruction. Straight and narrow way's got to be what? Found.
Yeah.
Don't it? It says, few there be that what?
Find
it. That lets me know it's hidden.
That's right.
Right? It's hidden. Oh, what a glory. Listen, see, this is what, you know, people talk about assurance. And granted, there is some hope that comes from believing. The book teaches that, right?
Yeah.
But assurance ain't based just upon believing. Well, do I believe or not? Sometimes I'm sure I do. Sometimes I wonder whether I do. Right? The question is, who do you believe?
Yes, sir.
What is your belief upon?
Yeah.
Upon what is it resting? Is it shaky ground? Is it sandy ground? Or is it the rock Christ Jesus?
Exactly.
You don't build your house upon your house. You build your house upon the rock.
Yes.
You understand that? A lot of people's building their house upon their house. Well, I got a house. Yeah. Right? I've had my experience. I've prayed. I've believed. I've repented. I've confessed. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. They may even believe the truth. Amen. Academically. They may have been brought up in a free grace assembly. But if all they got's the house, they ain't got it.
Amen.
Now somebody says that's scary. You daggone right it's scary.
Yes, sir.
Huh? You daggone right, because if you lack in the rock, when the storm comes, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
House will be blown away. It's going to fall. And what does it say? Mm-hmm. Great is the fall of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
great's the fall. That's how serious this thing is. Because like I mentioned last Sunday, I mean, there are some people, and I got to keep, because this strikes me, and it causes me to have some patience and a little bit of temperance in many things I think about. I mean, there are some people, as Peter says, that it would have been better for them not to even have known the way of truth.
That's what it says.
It would have been better for them to have been born dead in trespass and sins, live a life dead in trespass and sins, and just go on to their eternal doom. Then what happened when they heard the truth? They conformed to that truth, were affected by that truth, then they turned from it and go back away from it. Right? Now somebody said, well, how could that be worse? The book says it is, so it is.
Amen.
Something's going to be worse, right?
Yes, sir.
It had been better for them not to have even known the way of truth, and after they've known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. So every time the subject of Christ or religion comes up, you think about that. Now, am I saying that to keep you from saying anything? No, I'm saying that to keep all of us, think about what you say.
Yes, sir.
Don't just start rattling off facts. You know what I'm saying? Don't just start preaching at people. Oh, it's amazing to what God teaches you through His Spirit from the Scripture. You know? Because, and I mentioned this, and this all ties in somewhat, that we are to have temperance in all things.
Yes.
That includes witnessing the gospel of Christ to people.
Yes, sir.
Right? I mean, it tells us there are certain people that once you've told them the truth, that you're not to cast it out there before them anymore, right? Don't cast your pearls before swine.
Amen. Exactly.
Now, I know some of these religious people, and years ago, it's amazing what I used to hear. I mean, you know, it's amazing that and some people probably ain't going to believe this, but it's amazing I'm saying today. And some people say, well, you're wrong about that. And they may be right, too. But let me tell you, our free will religion, when you begin to see the truth, it just boggles the mind of the absolute ignorance that is involved there. And sometimes it's pure stupidity. You know? And it's amazing that any of these little kids that are subjected to Sunday school, maybe that's why things are like they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're subjected to all these lies. Just like you, Joe, they had the Barney mentality before Barney ever came along.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know? Get along with everybody.
Yeah.
Now, God, don't bring you. That is not bringing children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
No, it's not.
Is it? Don't force a Barney mentality on your kids. And I'm not talking about trying to bring a Hitler attitude upon them either. Huh? Tell them the truth. And tell them the facts. They need both. Now you know the difference. Truth has to do with this. God's word. Who God is. What He's done for His people and what He's doing to His people. Okay, that's truth. But there are also other things that are facts. They don't have anything to do with truth, but it needs to be told facts as well. We're in a day and age where it's all right to lie as long as you mean well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Serious. Everywhere you turn, it's all right to lie as long as you mean well.
Right.
It's just amazing. They don't want to hear the facts, let alone the truth. You know? It was just like that time I went for some classes, and I knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
But because the last day, no, I think it's the second to the last day, because I remember the last day was really tense, because nobody said much of anything. But the next to the last day of this training I was going to, somebody says, "Are you a preacher?" Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Well, where do you go to church at? And of course, when you say Sovereign Grace Chapel, what? What's that? What do you believe? All right, you ask me. Uh-huh. Right?
Well, here it comes.
And of course, when you tell them what you believe, they always got to give you some ungodly, almost unbearable example of how what you, if what you say is true, then.
Yeah.
You know? I just couldn't shut up. It's what I believe. This is who we are. It's where we stand, you know? Well, in other words, you're telling me when them two jailbirds broke out, or that one jailbird broke out, I'm sorry, that one guy broke out of jail, and he went into this house where his two elderly lady lives, and he raped and murdered those two ladies. You telling me that was the purpose of God? And here I've done backed myself in a corner. I had only two options. Lie on God or tell the truth. And I said, yeah, that was God's sovereign purpose. And as I said, the next day was very tense. Huh? They ask you the truth, tell them the truth. Somebody said, but that's God's purpose? Yeah, that's God's purpose. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens in this world that God Almighty is not in absolute control of.
Amen.
He is God. Now, either God is God or he's not.
Exactly.
You know? See, that's the problem. They have no idea who God is.
Exactly.
Their problem's not drunkenness and dope and drugs and homosexuality, that's not the problem for most people. The problem with most people, they are ignorant of God.
Yes, sir.
You know? At best, they're like the Athenians. They ignorantly worship the unknown God.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Father, I pray that as we go our separate ways, that you may be with us. Lord, guide us and lead us as we know you do. Comfort us, strengthen us. When the pain comes, Lord, we know that you are there to give us that comfort that is needed. Maybe not what we want, but what's needed. Lord, help us to be mindful of one another, think upon one another, to pray for one another, support one another. And I ask you in Christ's name, amen.